Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury. And today I have Mont Criddle on the line. Mont, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Lon. Good to be here.
Mont is the therapist, and he's the Digital Recovery Program, the DART program, for Logan River Academy in Logan, Utah. He's also the residential director for the program, been there about 12 years. So we're going to talk today about the obsession of computers and screens, digital screens. And the title is, Who is in Control, Your Child or the Screen? So, why don't you just answer that question? Who is in control, Mont?
Well, yeah, interesting question. I think sometimes maybe we don't really know anymore who's in control. I've got kids of my own, and I feel I'm fairly intelligent and educated on this matter, and I find myself, even as a parent, sometimes sitting back going, holy smokes, am I doing things the right way here with my kids, or am I letting the screen run the show? So I think it's a very common thing for our society today, and in particular parents, and it's almost, you know, it's become a bit of an epidemic that I think people are queuing into more and more and realizing that we really need to be assertive and be on top of, because it is becoming a bigger and bigger problem.
One of the neat things I heard about that is in the Silicon Valley, where there's a big collection of tech nerds on the computer and the internet and things like that, and they are probably the most restrictive on their children of screen time.
Yeah, I would believe that. I think with them knowing and understanding and realizing both the value, but also some of the dangers and detriment that come from being so involved and obsessed with screen and technology.
Well, what kind of kids do you get? What kind of problems? Why don't you give me a couple for instances of kids that you can think of that showed up there with this obsession with the digital screens?
Yeah, you bet. You know, funny little story I'll share with you about myself just right off the bat here that happened last night. About 7, 8 o'clock last night, my phone went kaput. I thought it just the battery died, but I plugged it in, charged it for a couple of hours, nothing. You know, it was just completely dead.
You're in trouble.
So I went to bed thinking, okay, boy, I hope, you know, no emergencies at work happen, you know, things with my kids, I might need to contact them. I started thinking of all the things that I have saved on my phone and photos, and I went to sleep, and I had, I'll bet, two or three dreams last night about photos and accessing my phone and the screen being cracked. And I woke up this morning laughing to myself, ironic that you and I were chatting today, and just the realization that even, you know, myself, that we're so entrenched and attracted and connected to media and technology and our devices. So anyways, I woke up this morning laughing, thinking, well, that's funny. I spent all night dreaming about my phone. So, and it's sitting over at the shop right now. They're looking at it, seeing if they can get it figured out. So before long, I'll have my pacifier back in my pocket.
Yeah, well, sounds like you're really hooked on it. I heard another interesting story from a guy I was talking to at a program, just a startup program back east. Yeah, that's a wilderness program for kids with this obsession. They don't use the term addiction with computer screens.
Right.
And he was telling me that his kid was talking, you know, Dad, it is really ironic that you run a program, he's the executive director, you run a program to help kids that have too much screen time, and you spend all day on your job at looking at screens.
It is so true. It's you know, we as the adults and parents and you know, the supposedly more in control and more mature ones, we, I think, at times have just as much of an issue with it as the kids. In fact, there's this interesting study that I read about a while back where they surveyed, I don't know, 1,500 parents and teens. And I think, you know, about 59% of the parents said that they felt their teens were addicted to their phones, and about 50% of the teens said, yes, we are addicted. But interestingly, 28-29% of the parents and teens also agreed that the parents were addicted to their phone. So it's not just teens and kids that are having issues with it. It's really everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very widespread, and it's a phenomenon in our society. And I don't think it's anything we're going to get away from unless we find ourselves back in the Stone Age.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to go back to Right, paper and pencil era to get away from it.
Yeah, I still do some of that. I'm an older generation. I'm a grandparent. And so I still use some of the older ways. But I've gotten to where I write on the computer instead of a yellow pad and adjusting to it. But also, I can go all day without turning my phone on.
And yeah, so, well, you're in the healthier category then, because we're seeing and learning that those are some of the recommendations, you know, that they're making now, is that people need to absolutely take time during the day to unplug or disconnect and just set the phone or the screen or the computer off to the side and get back to really to what you're talking about, doing it the way that we did, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, mm-hmm. 30 years ago. So, and we see that, you know, with a lot of the kids that come into our program, we try to be as lifelike as we can here in our program with a variety of things. But one area that, of course, the kids have to adjust to is, you know, they don't have access to a cell phone. They don't have access to a personal computer, laptop, and those things. And it is really an adjustment for them. They take a stretch of time where they're not connected anymore to Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. And most kids seem to handle it relatively well, but we really have seen a lot of kids really struggle and have some real emotional breakdowns and almost some temper tantrum for their first weeks and months here without being able to be connected in the way that they're used to. What we've seen, which I think kind of goes without saying, is once they have adjusted and gone through that initial period, they start to see the benefit themselves of disconnecting a little bit and unplugging and starting to get their life back on track.
Well, keeping in mind the parents, because parents all over the country are having to deal with this, what do you do, or what could somebody do, a parent or whoever, that wants to help a kid that seems to have too much obsession with the smartphone is one thing, and it's in some quarters it's called an addiction, because it fits a lot of the categories or definitions of addiction. So what is it you do? So what you're talking about earlier sounds like a distraction. Get them involved in fresh air, getting involved in this activity, and they don't think about the phone. And that's, I imagine, the most of them, that seems to work.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's a, you know, it's a tricky dilemma. You know, it's like maybe the television from 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, it's easy to plop a kid down in front of a TV and stick in a recording of Barney or Sesame Street, and in moderation, you know, in with a healthy balance, there's nothing wrong with that. But if a parent's doing that for 4 or 5 hours, then obviously there's something wrong. And I think that applies to current modern day. And I think, again, I've even seen myself struggling with as a parent, that it's really critical for parents to be actively involved in the issue. They need to be assertive. They have to be very aware of what their child is doing, how much time they're spending, and the parents are the ones that have to be in control of it. They are the ones that have to set the boundaries, set the limits, and it's very, very easy to drift away from that. It's very easy for a kid to stay quiet for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours in front of a computer, on his phone, on his tablet, and the parents sitting there going, gosh, this is great, it's quiet, I'm getting a lot done. And, you know, meanwhile, the kid's becoming, you know, more and more obsessed with his phone. So first and foremost, that I think is the key, is that parents have to be assertive and actively involved in setting limits. I think another important thing is, as kids come home from school, you know, the school day, parents have got to have some guidelines and restrictions and expectations around these other healthy things that kids need to be doing: chores, homework, you know, other important things that the family might value, that those things need to happen and take place before the teen or the youth is able to access their phone, you know, the computer. And then of course, having it limited. You know, even once they've done their chores and their homework and have gotten all those things out of the way, that shouldn't just be an open-ended, unlimited amount of time that now, well, great, I'm done with my homework, I'll sit here on the computer for 4 hours. So there still needs to be limits. And then, yes, you just hit the other, I think the critical one is that Kids absolutely have got to have other forms of entertainment. They've got to, you know, parents sometimes almost have to, you know, kind of push them out the front door and say, get back out there and get on your scooter, basket in the driveway, go for a walk, you know, do all of these things that so many kids today are starting to drift away from and neglect and not be involved in because it is so easy to be in front of the screen.
And don't let them take the phone with them.
Absolutely, yeah. If you send them outside and they've got their phone in their pocket, they're going to go find a nice, shady, quiet spot and pull the phone out and keep doing, you know, what they do. So, funny, I was out in the yard last night doing yard work, and I've got two boys, one's 10 and one's 13, and I had them come out with me to help for a little while. And, you know, we were pruning some trees and trimming the hedges and raking and cleaning some things up. And as we were doing it, my 10-year-old said, "Wow, Dad, this feels really good. This feels good to be doing this." And and I laughed. And, you know, granted, we're just getting done with winter here, so it's been a while since we've been able to do that. But it struck me, you know, that, and I actually used it as an opportunity with him to say, yeah, it's, you know, it's good to get out and do these things. And I think there are a lot of kids who are just simply not getting some of those things anymore because it's so enticing to sit in front of the computer or sit on your phone.
You know, you talk about some of the kids. I presume virtually all of the kids that enroll at Logan River have this obsession, some sort of a level of obsession with digital screens.
Yeah, to one extent or another, and that's, you know, something that we do here, you know, because we are a treatment center. You know, we take a, I guess, a little more professional or clinical approach to this than maybe, you know, the average parent at home might. But for us, it's really important. We, you know, we go through and assess. We look at things from a, you know, is this a digital use issue? Is this a digital abuse issue, or is this a digital obsession, or maybe even, you know, bordering into addiction? And so with our students here, we go through and assess and evaluate and determine where they're at, and then we kind of set our course of action from there as to what is going to be needed for a particular student to work through these issues, which, yeah, you hit on it earlier. There's some debate out there in the community today. Is it an addiction? Is it not? And, you know, I'll leave that discussion for another day, but there is growing evidence and growing research out there that technology, that digital media types of things do affect the same parts of the brain as other addictions, you know, as substance abuse, as, you know, other addictions that are out there. So it is an important and critical topic that, as we said, that parents just really need to be on top of and aware of with their own kids.
Okay, well, we could go on all day with this, but just about run out of time. But could you give an explanation of Logan River Academy, what kind of kids you work with, and tell a little bit more about the program and then some contact information?
Yeah, you bet. We, as you said earlier, we're Logan River Academy. We're located here in northern Utah. We're an adolescent residential treatment center, so we work with kids typically ages 13 to 18. And most of the students that we work with, we have two kind of different types of programs here. One of our programs is called our Essence Program, and it is a program that works primarily with kids who might land somewhere on the autism spectrum. So they're kids who are, you know, struggling with issues connected to that. And then we have another program that's more for a neurotypical student, and these students are typically struggling with more, you know, things along the lines of depression, anxiety, family issues, anger. And then this digital addiction or digital obsession issue that we've talked about, it's kind of across the board. It's nobody's really immune from it, and so a lot of our students here do find themselves falling into that category of struggling with that. We work with both male and female students, you know, who fall into those programs that I've mentioned. So our contact information, you can reach us if you feel the need to at 435-755-8400, and we are on the web as well. You can find us by Googling Logan River Academy.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And just one more question. Between the two types, the ones that the Essence Program and then the other one, is there any more inclination by one than the other to have problems with the screens?
Great question. And yes, I think unofficially, I would say that probably a larger percentage of our students in the Essence program have struggled a little bit more with the video gaming and obsession to screen related things. But as I said, really nobody's immune. We've had students from A to Z here who have struggled with it, but typically, yes, the kids in our Essence program maybe have a little higher rate of having struggles and issues with these screen addiction, these things.
Well, that would make sense because on the spectrum, they generally have more of a social problems.
Absolutely.
And yep, and they would use that as a substitute. They can socialize without having to face people.
You're exactly right, and as you said, we could talk all day, and that's a whole other an area to get into. Which is, you're right. It's a lot of these kids, and in particular kids on the spectrum, they create this whole fake identity online, where they're on there and they're avoiding actual social interactions with live people, and they've created a whole virtual reality of who they are and who their character is, and all of these online friends, and so yes, we do see those kids struggling with it a little bit more, but even kids in our foundations program and our female students, and we have a program called Maple Rise for some of our female students, and they struggle as well. They struggle with a lot of the social media issues and Instagram and Snapchat and body image issues and comparing themselves. So yeah, it is becoming a more and more prevalent problem out there, and it's good to see so many people being aware of it and treating it with the importance that it needs to be treated. We're not the only folks that realize that this is something important that we all need to be working with.
Yeah, well, the public debate and discussion about it sure seems to indicate that. Well, unfortunately, we're totally out of time, even running over a little bit, but that was interesting. That was good.
You bet.
Now, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Mont Criddle. He's a therapist and residential director at Logan River Academy in northern Utah, and he developed the Digital Recovery Program, DART was what it called, for Logan River. Well, thank you very much, and I forgot to mention, it is April 11th, 2018, and a nice spring day. Thank you very much, Mont. Good talking to you.
You bet. Thanks, Lon. Take care.